Kickoff live. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Joined by Jeff Eagles, I am John Schmelk. The phone number for you is 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter if you want to send in your comments or questions. And folks, obviously a very busy couple days in the National Football League. The league year opened officially yesterday at 4 o'clock.
Just to say the least.
You frankly saw a lot of moves be finalized before 4 o'clock, and then at 4, it really went fast or furious. Jeff and I can't. We aren't going to go through all the contracts here because we'll be here forever. There was just, quite frankly, too many things that happened to kind of go through all of them. But let's start with an item that's been reported. I stress that it is not official, but we could talk about it in theory here. A lot of reports going around that the Giants are close to a contract with Vikings tight end slash fullback slash H-back Rhett Ellison.
Any more slashes?
And again, this is not official, but if this thing does end up coming to fruition, Jeff, I think it does fit the type of need we were talking about. And, of course, it fits the type of role Will Johnson would have played last year if he was healthy throughout the year. Help in the running game and help as a blocking tight end in the pass game as well, maybe giving those tackles some assistance on the edge.
Yeah, and I think that Coach Mack was asked at the combine about, you know, what happened last year with this position. And, frankly, the guys got hurt that they wanted to play. It was Nikita Whitlock and Will Johnson. So they went through the season without it. I think that they understand now that how much that hurt them.
And I think if they could go back in time, they might have handled that a little bit differently based on this potential move.
And listen, and when they do, if it's reported that when they do sign him, if they do, it's going to be, you know, it's not a sexy free agent pickup, but it's something that's needed. And I think that we've been talking on this show forever about, can we get any of the tight ends to block and block? You're going to see a guy that can, that's really what he does. He's 6'5". 250 pounds. He can play fullback. He's a very physical at the line of scrimmage. Not very fast. And I only know this because I just did a little research on him before the show. But not very fast. But he can, you know, he can separate and make some catches if he has to. Listen, I think that he'll probably make a few more catches in his career as a Giant than he has at the Vikings, because I think the Giants will involve him in the offense a little bit more. They like to get the tight ends involved, but more importantly, him being in that halfback position and being able to block for the running game. The running game did pick up a little bit at the end of the season, as we all remember, John, but this will definitely be able to add to the mix and get in there and make some plays with his blocking. And two, we talk about left tackle, right tackle. He's going to be able to help whoever's going to be playing those positions this coming season.
And this type of blocking tight end is a position that the Giants haven't really had the ability to fill for quite a few years now, including fullback as well. It's been a couple years since they had a true fullback. They tried to convert Nikita Whitlock into that. He was a defensive lineman in college, obviously. But I think he will play a role. I think it'll help mostly in situational football, because I still probably think he's not going to play more than 50, 60% of the snaps, probably, based on, you know,
personnel.
You want to put receiving guys out there in passing situations, things like that. But I think short yardage is a blocker. It's going to help. Running on first down, which we talked about a lot this year, was a problem. I think he helps immensely there. And like you said, if you need to leave in an extra blocker to max protect for Eli on, you know, second or third and long, he's a guy that can help there. And, of course, in the red zone, too, blocking in terms of getting the running game going. So I think in terms of situational football, I think this is one of those signings that might be under the radar. He might not put up numbers that'll impress people, but I think he'll help your football team win games and win those specific scenarios.
Well, he's going to win his matchups. They're asking him to block. That's what they need him to do, is block. They're not asking him to be a Gronkowski and catch touchdowns and things like that. So, so you look at who's in the mix to be on the roster next year with Rhett, and then you've got Will Johnson is still on the roster, and what's going to happen with him, we don't know. But and then you've also got Will Tye, and you've got the young guy. So I think that between those guys, they're going to probably come out of training camp with three of them, and we'll see what happens. But I think he is a good signing. Like we said, it's not sexy, but it's a need, and I think that they fulfilled it pretty good. And then, of course, you have the other signing that the Giants did before free agency started, because Brandon Marshall was not a He was cut, so they were able to sign him before free agency. And a lot of talk about that, John, and just really how he's going to fit the system here. We certainly, I think, know that he's grown up a little bit, and I think from his older days, he's going to be able to come in here and take a little pressure off of Odell Beckham.
Thank you for joining us on Twitter. If you want to listen to more about the Brandon Marshall signing and the rest of free agency, go to Giants.com or the Giants mobile app right now, where you can watch the remainder of the show. And on Giants.com and on the mobile app as well, you can watch the archives of
the archives.
Big Blue Kickoff live shows. And you can subscribe on iTunes and get it downloaded to your phone so you have your podcast on your ride home from work every day. So thank you for joining us. And, Jeff, you brought up Brandon Marshall, and we haven't spoken together on the show before. We've spoken individually about the signing. I'll just kind of give you my quick spiel from what I said to Paul yesterday. I don't want to waste too much time on it because I gave it yesterday. I think he helps in a few different ways. Everyone's talked about the red zone. But larger context, he makes contested catches, and that obviously helps in the red zone. But it also helps in terms of third down situations where teams are playing tight man-to-man coverage and need to spit the ball into small areas. So he's good at that because of his size and his catch radius, and he hand catches it. He extends his hands to catch the ball. This is, I think, an area that not enough people have talked about. And watching his – I basically went back and watched, I'd say, 70 to 80% of his catches last year.
Blocking?
Well, he is a good blocker. He's excellent at the back shoulder catch.
Yeah, he likes
and
that play.
We haven't seen someone here be really efficient at that back shoulder catch probably since Akeem Nixon.
I was just going to say, Nix is probably the best one.
Yeah, and, you know, Ruben Randle did it a little bit, but he was obviously very inconsistent. So I think that's a pass that Eli Manning in the past has been very efficient with. They haven't used it as much the last couple of years because smaller receivers, and for all the great things Odell Beckham knows how to do, he hasn't mastered that timing of that back shoulder catch quite yet. I think that's going to be a huge weapon for Brandon Marshall in this Giants offense, especially against press man with two safeties deep, something we saw a lot against this Giant team last year. You can bust that coverage with the back shoulder catch, and I think small picture – those are some of the areas that Brandon Marshall can specifically help you this year in the passing game.
I will agree with you. At 6 foot four, 6 foot five, whatever he is, that's a perfect person to throw a back shoulder to.
Yeah.
I like the way that Sterling Shepard developed a little bit of that back shoulder catching last year. I think that's going to be something that's going to get better as the season goes on this year. But also, I mentioned blocking. He's a big dude, man, and he gets downfield and makes some nice blocks. He's very physical. And the other one, too, John, that you can mention is that in those third down and short distances, he's physical at the line of scrimmage and can get off of those corners and turn around and boom, there it is.
You sound like me yesterday. I said the same exact thing. I watched him his entire game versus Richard Sherman last year when he had a pretty good game, caught a touchdown pass, and he really beat Sherman a lot in that game. Sherman tried to get physical with him at the line of scrimmage. He tossed him around.
Yeah.
He's got those long arms, and he extends them. You can't get into his body.
Leverage.
He is a guy that's going to get off that line of scrimmage whenever he wants.
Yep, yep. And really, when you think about what teams did to Odell Beckham and whether they bracket him or double him or whatever, we're not talking about a Brandon Marshall who's 39 years old and played in the league for 15 years. The guy is still at a high-level receiver.
He'll be 33 end of the month.
Okay, so, but still, he's in tip-top shape. Mm-hmm. He's a good receiver, yeah. Could he be a number one receiver on another team? Yes. But here, obviously, we're going to think he's going to be the number two guy. But he's okay with that. And I'm only saying that because of what I've read and what I've heard from him. And that's the thing.
Well, and that's the one thing we talked about we thought was a risk when we were asked about Brandon Marshall before the period started, whether or not he would be willing to accept that smaller role where he's not going to get 160, 170 targets over the course of the year. And he seems more than ready to sacrifice whatever personal numbers he could put up for victories. And that's what you need. And I don't think there's any worry about him willing to accept that role.
Nope. And I heard him on the radio, and I like what he said. He said, I have a chip on my shoulder because there's a lot of guys think that, you know, I'm getting up there in age and that I had a little down year last year. And he says, you know what, I want to go out there and prove all those naysayers wrong. But you know what, it may not statistically be the best year I have in my career just because of the position that I'm going to be put in, but he doesn't care. And the other thing, too, that it's very important to him, and I can relate to this, when you're in the National Football League and you're at home when the playoffs are going, it's not a good feeling. You know, your ultimate goal is to try to get to the playoffs and to the Super Bowl. He's never been there before, and I think that this is the time when he realizes that this New York's team is in the now. They're ready to make a run at this thing, and he's going to be a big part of it. And certainly coming off an 11-5 season, that the Giants did. And we talk about the offensive line all the time, John. Oh, the offensive line. Yes, they do need to play better, but this was a team that was an 11-5 because of their defense. But that receiving core, man, did they drop a lot of footballs last year. Man, did Eli Manning throw a lot of interceptions.
Now, in fairness, Brandon Marshall had some, has had some drop issues in the past.
Yeah.
He has, and
well,
we have to be fair about that.
That's fair, but I think that's something that collectively as a group that they are going to work on. And the receivers are going to say to themselves, hey, we did drop a lot of passes. And by the way, Brandon, so did you. So now we all got to work on it together.
Correct. Absolutely. And the other thing maybe you could worry about a little bit, you mentioned his age. 2 years ago, he had the monster year with the Jets, 109 catches, 1,500 yards. But last year, just 59 catches for 100 for 788 yards. And 2 years ago in 2014, 61 catches for 721. So two out of his last 3 years haven't been great, but a lot of that had to do with injury, too. He was banged up in that year in Buffalo in 2014, had quarterback issues that year as well.
Yeah.
Quarterback issues last year with the Jets, and he was banged up towards the end of the year too. So those are things you had to take it take into consideration. Now,
but I look at, I'm seeing a lot of 100-yard 100 catches seasons, and I'm also looking at GPs, which is games played. 15, 16,
everything's
15,
between 14 and 16.
15. That's a good sign.
8,000-yard seasons in his career. 600-yard catch seasons in his career. So, needless to say, one of the best receivers in the last 10 years, no doubt about that.
And now, really, his timing with those teams has been just kind of horrible. You know, every time, as soon as he leaves, the team's going to the playoffs. As soon as he leaves, team's going to playoffs other than the Jets. But, you know, it's just been kind of crazy with him.
Absolutely. In terms of the rest of free agency, Jeff, I think just going back to Ellison for a second, I think teams have found some value again in fullbacks and blocking tight ends. You saw Anthony Fasano is going to get a long-term deal. Jusic, the fullback. DeMarco, the fullback. They've all been signed early in free agency. The Patriots trade for Dwayne Allen, a good blocking tight end. So I think people are recognizing that those things are still important in the NFL. So much as people want to throw it and spread
it
out,
or not, right?
You still need to win at the line of scrimmage, and those guys can help you do it.
Yeah, and they can win at the line of scrimmage, and you can also put them in the backfield because there really is no more other than a few teams that have a legit just a fullback. He doesn't even play tight end.
Absolutely.
So the Giants, they need that position, and they got a good one. And you know the guy's a big dude, and he stays healthy, and he's a good player.
And we'll touch Jeff on the rest of free agency as the show goes along. But
listen, yesterday I was on the train going into New York City, and I swear, as soon as I got done reading a tweet, and it would refresh, there was like six new tweets. Like there was lightning fast round with free agency yesterday after 4 o'clock. It was unbelievable.
And we could talk another 50 minutes just about the rest of the NFL and free agency. But I have a phone bank full of
calls, free agency.
So I want to get to it. We'll kind of talk about that as we go along here on Giants.com on Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513. I'm going to warn you, there's a chance over the next 45 minutes I might have to disappear for a few minutes and come
We're
back.
Gonna kick him out of here.
In which case, Jeff Fiegels will carry us along while I do that. So if I pull a little disappearing act, that's why, and you'll see why later on today on Giants.com. So let's go to Mark in Chicago. He leads us off. He's been on hold the longest.
What's up,
Mark? You're with Jeff Fiegels and John Schmelk. How are you?
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Doing great.
Good.
Hey, I tell you, I understand the Brandon Marshall signing, but boy, I would love to be inside the head of Jerry Reese to understand what his strategy is, because that's not where I would have expected us to spend money. I thought it would have been on the offensive line. And
see,
you know,
Mark, here's the thing.
We're bringing in somebody. I think what he's doing is he's bringing in all the weapons that Eli needs to be successful, to win a championship, do it while we can do it within his window. But you know, we saw last year where if you don't have the blocking, establishing the run game, or protecting Eli with his head on a swivel, I don't see how we're going to even improve with this signing.
Mark, I understand what you're saying in terms of the overall strategy, and here's what I'll say about it. I get your point, and you're right. You need to get better blocking on the offensive line. Jeff and I are not arguing that point one bit. But here's how I look at it. Can you find on this free agent market so far a better value deal than the Giants got with Brandon Marshall? They got, I think, besides Alshon Jeffrey, probably the best wide receiver that was available.
That's going to cost them $15 million.
You can even argue that he's better than Alshon Jeffrey based on the last couple of seasons. And Jeffrey over 1 year is making more than Marshall's making
over two. Yeah. He's going to get
$15
million.
And then on top of that, Mark, if you take a look at the offensive line market, the amount of money that, quite frankly, not very good offensive linemen have gotten in this market has
overpriced.
Been off the charts. I mean, these guys are getting more guaranteed money in a signing bonus than Marshall's entire contract is worth. So I think when you take a look at it, I get what you're saying. But in terms of getting value for your money, I think it's hard to find the deal that's as good as the Brandon Marshall contract.
And they can't find the deal because they don't have the money. I mean, some of the deals these offensive linemen have gotten, we talked about it before we went into free agency. Like, hey, let's look at the offensive linemen that are available. When we went down the list, they're getting picked off here and there, but they're getting picked off for an inflated amount of money. And the Giants just aren't going to willing to pay guys that are in their 30s to pay them $15 million a year to be their guy.
Yeah, Mark, I think the good example, we talked about, oh, well, you know, maybe, you know, there isn't that franchise left tackle on the market. Maybe you can go and find someone for a little bit cheaper. And we went through, you know, some of the names of the guys you might be able to get for quote-unquote cheaper on the free agent market. Well, Russell Okung got about $50 million and 20 guaranteed. Not cheap. Riley Reiff got a ton of money. Not cheap. Matt Khalil, who, by the way, hasn't had a good year in about three seasons, got 5 years, $55 million. So these guys that, quite frankly, are maybe better than what the Giants had, no guarantee that they are, you have to give them guaranteed money over 3, 4, 5 years, and that can hamstring your franchise going forward. Now, what's your second point?
I agree. And, I just see the cap space reducing and reducing and reducing, and we know that there aren't a lot of good offensive linemen out there in the draft, so I think we're sort of boxed in. Yeah. I think, in retrospect, if you look back at what they did last year in taking the cornerback versus that tackle, you know, long-term, maybe that wasn't the right strategy, but that's gone. So you can't really debate that too much. But anyway, I just think that you got to try to win for today and for Eli, and then you're going to deal with these cap issues, you know, down the road with Jason Pierre-Paul and all the money we spent last year. But we got to win for today. So
yeah, absolutely. Anyway. Mark, here's the thing. Eli's got a small window here. You know, whether it's 3 years, 4 years, or 5 years, however many years he has left being a really good quarterback, you have to figure out how to give him a best chance to win. And I think the way you do that is bringing in the best players you can. And I know
that you can. That's
a
big word.
Right. You usually talk about best player available with the draft. I think the way the Giants looked at this is they wanted to try to get the best player available in free agency. And even though it maybe didn't fit the position that certain people were looking for, I really don't think there's been a better value contract out there than the one Brandon Marshall got. So, you know, you hope that they can overcome the offensive line issues. We'll see. I mean, look, the proof's going to be in the pudding. We can talk about all we want now. We're not going to know until these guys show up to see whether or not and how much Eric Flowers and Bobby Hart have gotten better.
Okay. I do have a couple other points. I have one quick question about Brandon Marshall. You saw him last year with the Jets. When he was out in Chicago, he was a little bit of a locker room issue, and I know he had some issues back then. Has that been resolved? Do you think he's going to be the kind of teammate we need?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right, good. I do have two other things.
Real quick, Mark.
Do you think there's any way that we're going to re-sign Larry Donnell? I am not a big Larry Donnell fan. I probably called the show five times.
Yes, I remember.
In fact, my big bold prediction, John, last year was that Larry Donnell would be cut in training camp.
And Jeff and I actually, and you're right, Jeff and I went through that though, and I would be surprised if Larry Donnell's back on the roster.
Yeah, okay. I
hope I never have to talk about it again.
I don't think you will.
The last thing is, Jeff, I have a question for you. I don't think you ever addressed this. Back in the Green Bay game, Brad Wing had a really poor game. And I was wondering if that you thought that was due to his Australian kicking style not being suited for cold weather, or if, you know, he just had a bad game. I just like your assessment of that, and I'll listen to it off the air.
Well, thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
Good call.
I don't think it had anything to do with his Australian style or anything. He just had a bad game. I really did. I mean, look at the season he had. He had a really good season.
Do you think it was combination of the weather, the pressure, and all that stuff together?
Yeah. So it was just a bad game. And you know what? It's over, and now he's learned from it, and hopefully he can get in the same position the team can next year and make up for it. But he's a good one going forward.
Let's go to Josh down in Puerto Rico. We wish we were in Puerto Rico right now with the
with
snow
the
outside,
snow out
Josh.
Here.
What's
yeah,
up,
Josh.
Man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you for my call.
Thanks for calling in.
First of all, John, kudos to you on the when you were manning the ship alone on the combines.
Oh, thank
that was
you.
Awesome work.
Appreciate it.
Okay, first of all, I think Jerry Reese has done. He's getting a bad rap. Last year, you know, he did awesome job with the defense. We all know how that turned out to be. And this year, fans need to lay off the offensive issues, offensive line issues, as you all guys echo 1,000 times. They don't just fall off trees. And I would prefer to have, for example, Eric Flowers to develop to be a good, you know, decent left tackle, so we don't have to pay him a huge money now. We can save that money. So I would prefer for that outcome to be better than signing, let's say, subpar lineman now and financially being committed to him than having Pugh and having Rich for next year. So it's better to let Flower, you know, give him the opportunity, because if it turns out to be good, then, you know, we're fine there financially at least for a couple of more years.
Yeah.
You understand?
You know, Josh, you know what? I think this is a point we haven't really talked about much, and I think you make a good one. And I think what you have to weigh is, would you rather have a guy that maybe is a veteran, is a little bit better than Eric Flowers, but he's not going to get any better because he's already 29, 30 years old, and pay him $20 million guaranteed and a $50 million overall contract over 5 years, like a Russell Okung said, for example? Or would you rather try to fill that position, quote-unquote, on the cheap, because Flowers is on his, you know, five-year, you know, draft pick salary, and take the chance that he's going to get better, at least to the point where he can be as good as these veterans going elsewhere, or maybe better than that? And you know what? I think that's a fair trade-off that you have to weigh. Do you really want to pay $20 million guaranteed for guaranteed mediocrity? Do you want to roll the dice, pay less, and hope that your first-round pick improves?
Well,
it's fair.
Considering that, you know, our top guards are free agents soon, so we have to be smart, you know, where we are going to reallocate that money.
That's a good point.
And also, there's a point I wanted to make. I love, you know, Victor Cruz. You know, I'm from Puerto Rico. He's from Puerto Rico. You know how it all is. But last year, I think he was, you know, one of our weakest points. And with signing Brandon Marshall, I think it will help the O-line, because not only Eli has to wait for Beckham to get open, Marshall's going to get open quite a few times sometimes. And you got to remember, Eli, you know, with all the offensive line issues, was one of the lesser, you know, pass quarterbacks in the league. So he won't have to wait for Beckham now to get open. Now he has Beckham, Marshall, and Shepard. So I think that will, you know, alleviate the pressure on the O-line and get a group, have a group going. I'll pick that up there, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Josh. I'm not sure if it necessarily helps the O-line. They're still going to have to block. But I think it'll help Eli mitigate potential problems with the O-line, giving him another target to get rid of the ball quick to a guy with a big catch radius.
I just think when he comes up to the line of scrimmage and he reads the defense and sees there's a chance out there now with a 6'4" guy.
Can't double both him and Odell.
And I think that Eli loves the taller receivers. Just look at Plaxico Burress when he was here. I mean, that's probably the closest thing I can compare Brandon Marshall to, and those guys hooked up left and right.
Oh, yeah, I mean, they're on a lot of receivers that are 6'4", 6'4 and a half.
And so, 230 pounds.
No, absolutely. And I think we talked about this too, and we had a good caller last week saying, you know, why are people obsessed with, you know, tall receivers? I'd rather have a smaller good receiver than a not-so-good tall guy. Well, you know what? They found a tall receiver that's also pretty damn good.
Yeah, you got both.
Which is the best of both worlds.
Absolutely. And I think we can beat it with, you know, beat a dead horse here, is that it will certainly going to help in the red zone. I mean, Eli loves to throw that back shoulder fade to 6'4" guys.
Right, and that was actually one of the plays. If you go to Giants.com, I wrote a write-up on him, and he ran one of those stop fades against Malcolm Butler, where Butler has to play the corner fade, obviously, because he's so big.
Turn around, boom.
Marshall's in front of him, turn right around, catches the
and
ball.
And Eli
touchdown.
Throws that. That is one of his favorite passes.
And he threw that a lot to Hakeem Nicks, and he threw that a lot to Plaxico Burress.
Yep. And Hakeem Nicks was not a 6'4" guy.
He yeah,
was
but
a 6 foot
had,
guy,
but
he had ups.
And long arms,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and good hands.
He had a great, he had a really big wingspan. So while Nicks was only 6'1", he probably played like he was 6'3", because of the hands, because of the long arms.
Yep. But I tell you, and I don't mean to keep staying on the subject, but I just love the physicality of Brandon Marshall, and I think that's going to play big time.
He's a man's man.
Absolutely.
Frankly, you know what? You laugh. You look, in fact, I'm going to bring it up right now. Brandon Marshall weighed in on, according to ESPN, he's 6'4", 230 pounds, right? Are you familiar with Gerald Everett, Jeff? Gerald Everett is...
I did not play with him, if you want to put that in.
No.
That's a win? Is that a good? Is that
a
win?
You did not play with Gerald Everett. Gerald Everett is coming out in the NFL draft this year. He's probably the third tight end that's going to go off the board after O.J. Howard
and
Njoku, right? Gerald Everett checks in at 6'3", 239 pounds.
As a tight end.
So he's basically the same size. Now, I'm sure he is a bigger frame, and he's probably going to get heavier, and he has more room to grow than Brandon Marshall weight-wise, and that's fine. But just think of it that way. The third tight end in this draft class has the same basic measurements as Brandon Marshall.
What was his speed, too?
I mean, he ran a 4.62. I guarantee you Brandon Marshall runs better than a 4.62.
Yeah, even today he
does.
Yes,
absolutely. 201-939-4513. And I wonder...
And think about, when we talk about value,
you
are correct. Look at the value you just got in a 6'4", 230-pound, 9-year veteran.
And you know what? If Brandon Marshall asks for 2 years, $24 million, you know what? There's a good chance he's probably not here.
No question. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because of the, you know, the Giants, by the way, they still need a right guard.
Mm-hmm.
They still need a middle linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
There's still positions that they need to fill here, so it's not like they're done.
And they still need some money somehow. So, I kind of tweeted out yesterday that this is the time of year where the bubble players, you get a little bit nervous because when all of a sudden you're looking at the salary caps and you're like, the Giants have $8 million bucks here and they're trying to sign so and so who wants, and you're sitting there going,
And if we get
to turn my phone off,
and I know people are going to ask this, I still don't think Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is going anywhere.
No,
he's way too essential to.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Just.
I'm just preempting any.
No,
questions
I understand
that.
I get
them on
Twitter.
But
it's like, now the only reason it would happen was because of money. But I mean,
here's the problem, and this is how I look at it. When people talk about cutting people or whatever, you have to replace the guy.
Well, no
so
question.
If you in theory,
that's why it's so stupid.
Let Cromartie go. You're going to have to go pay a third corner anyway or draft one.
And you've
got
to have three corners. You have in the NFL
minimum.
Today, you have to have three minimum.
Minimum.
No question.
And frankly, if they draft a corner in the first three rounds, it should be their fourth guy. That's not necessarily a bad thing either.
And if you look at within the division, the Giants line up in 11 personnel with three wide receivers. You got to have three corners to cover them. And right now, when you look at it on paper, what the Giants are going to roll out there on opening day with those three receivers, you better have three good corners to cover those three guys.
And right now, by the way, two teams in the division, the Redskins, in fact, all three teams in the division, I would say, don't exactly have the best cornerbacks in the league. The Cowboys are losing their guys left and right. They already lost Barry
Church.
They lost Jack Crawford and Terrell McClain off the defensive line. I don't believe Brandon Carr and Mo Claiborne have signed anywhere yet, so I guess they still have a chance of going back there. But I think the Cowboys are going to probably go to the draft here. It's a very strong defensive line and cornerback draft, so you're probably going to have a lot of young players on that Cowboy defense next year, which I'm sure Brandon Marshall will be licking his lips on. Barry Church went to the Jaguars, right? Yeah, going down there with Tommy Coughlin, who's been very busy in free agency, by the way.
Yeah, they got a lot of money to spend
Absolutely.
Down there in Jacksonville.
Let's go to Nick in the Meadowlands. He's up next. Hi, Nick.
What are you doing, Nick?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing much, man. What's up?
Hey, John, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I made you an answer.
I got two daughters myself. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, I'm in trouble. I know. Don't worry, Nick.
I know. Mine are 11 and 13. I'm just realizing what trouble it is.
Teenage girls, man. I've heard some bad things, let me tell you.
That's okay.
It'll be all right. Don't worry. Hey, Jeff, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the service, man.
You're welcome, man. No problem.
Yes.
Love being on the show. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, speaking of Brandon Marshall, I wanted to say, you know, we were talking, you know, a couple months ago, John, about a big receiver, a veteran to come in, and who would have known that Brandon Marshall would be on the market? We were talking about, what was his name?
Andre Holmes from the Raiders?
Holmes.
Yeah,
yes.
Marshall's just a little bit better, just a little bit.
I would say a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, he might be as tall as him, but that's
speaking
it.
Speaking of what you guys are, I know where you're getting two birds with one stone, you know. He's big. He's going to solve a lot of problems.
Yeah.
I can see a lot more touchdowns in the red zone with him because Eli's 6'4". He misses high. He likes to throw that back shoulder fade, like you said, and he throws it up high. It's going to solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, and last year, I think the Giants were, 17th or 19th in the red zone last year or something like that. So I imagine they should probably be able to get into the, you know, top 15, top 10.
I think it's going to be a lot better. I mean, there's one piece we were talking about that solved right there. And then with the other signing, I don't know where that leaves Will Johnson. I guess maybe he's a like an insurance policy, maybe a little bit, you know, because I know neck injury is a big deal. But them signing this other guy, you know, that solves one problem there. I still think if they can get it, they should get a big tight end in the draft. Since it's so deep, you know, like a real big pass catching threat, you know what I mean? But other than that, you know, we just need a couple more pieces, and I think we're on our way, definitely. And
we'll find out sooner or later.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear you on that, you know.
I love
that they got Brandon. I can't wait till the season starts. I love that they got Brandon Marshall. That, like, right there, that's going to solve a lot of problems right there. I don't think people understand that. I hear a lot of criticism, and, you know, it's both ways. But on the other hand, the same thing goes with JPP. I've heard a lot of criticism. They just need to sign him, you know, to a, you know, 3 or 4 year deal and get that over with. But I don't think people understand how important keeping that defensive line together is, you know, especially him. We know what he can do, and plus he's a voice, you know, he's a big leader in the locker room.
Yeah, you know? And you want to try to, you know, we haven't heard a lot in free agency about Hank. I mean, he's kind of quietly flying under the radar with something going on, you know?
Thanks for the call, Nick. We appreciate it, man.
I'd love for Hank to stay, you know? I would love it, but yeah. I think they really need to re-sign Keenan Robinson, definitely. That's somebody that they need. And you guys were talking in the draft. What do you think on cornerback, guys that are 6 feet and under? Fabian Moreau, Latimer, Jalen Myrick, and Shaq Griffin. What do you think about getting one of those guys?
Well, I know that the draft is very deep with corners this year, so you may find something, and it just depends on the philosophy going into the draft this year on is it need or is it best player available? You know, maybe one of those cornerbacks that the pick that the Giants won in the first or second round, third round, whatever it is, it could be. Listen, I believe that they could afford to have another good cornerback in the draft on this team because I never think you have enough of them, to be honest with you. So, but we'll see what happens. But
yeah, you're right. It has been very quiet on him, which is odd. And it took Brandon Williams a little bit to sign yesterday too. Calais Campbell's off the market.
Well, that tells you a couple things.
I don't think Dontari Poe's been signed by anybody yet, has
nope,
he? And I think Poe and Hankins are actually very similar. Because
they're very similar.
Bigger run-stuffing defensive linemen.
And a lot of times, you know, teams will what you want and what teams are going to pay you are two different things.
Right.
So a lot of times what happens in this is that somebody has to set the market so that then now they can understand where those numbers really need to be in line with, whether it's the team or the players' expectations. So, and maybe some of the teams just don't want to set the market with Jonathan Hankins. They just don't feel he's worth what he wants.
And by the way, just to throw it out there, Ed Valentine over at Big Blue View, I'm not sure where he got these team names, but I'll list them as teams that apparently have shown interest in Jonathan Hankins.
Oh, wow.
One of the Philadelphia Eagles, who lost Benny Logan.
Okay.
Which makes sense as a replacement for him. You put Hankins next to Fletcher Cox, but Cox in the three technique, Hankins at more of that, you know, one technique nose tackle.
That's a big middle.
That's a very, very good defensive line. A couple of teams, the Cardinals, who lost Calais Campbell.
Okay.
Looking for a replacement for him, though they run the 3-4. I'll be curious to see how they use him. The Broncos, who tried to get Calais Campbell, another 3-4 team.
And look what he signed, big money.
Well, I mean, he's also an excellent football player.
Yes. Jacksonville got him, right?
Well, big surprise, Tom Coughlin went after a big, strong, physical defensive lineman, huh? You win. Hey, what was one of the things that Tom always said? You win with big people.
Yeah, and that's
Calais
what –
Campbell is a big
And not only
dude.
That, he had 8.5 sacks last year.
Good football player.
Yeah.
And then the Cleveland Browns, another team who obviously still – money flying all over the place in Cleveland.
Which, you know, you being a basketball guy, you know, what happened yesterday with that trade was
it was
classic,
an NBA trade.
Right?
It was an NBA trade, absolutely. It was the Knicks trading Steve Francis's crappy contract, and in order to get a team to take him, they had to give him the number one draft pick.
It's unbelievable.
That's what it is. I just can't believe it wasn't a three-way deal, and the Knicks somehow gave away their first-round pick this year in the move.
Yeah, for that. But I thought it was kind of funny because I was thinking about you about that, and there was a lot of people commenting on it. Was, you know, this was an NBA trade.
Oh, absolutely. That was the first thing I said when I saw it on Twitter.
But, you know, you got some people over there in Cleveland. If a lot of people don't know, they're big on analytics. They're big on this. There's a baseball guy running the show when it comes to this kind of stuff. So it's a little bit – they are the one team that is trying to do things outside the box in the non-conforming way that everybody else has done
and
it.
And plus, they had so much salary cap space.
They had to get – yeah.
I mean, it's you know, the salary floor is calculated an average of 4 years, so it's not like they were going to worry about that yet. But there's no way they were going to be able to effectively spend all their cap space this year anyway.
And
you could – you know, you want to carry over as much much as you can. I get that. But to get a second-round pick out of it, I think for them in the situation Cleveland's in, and maybe they can have, even have Osweiler compete now for a quarterback spot.
Or
who
trade
knows?
Him if somebody wants to give him some more picks.
I doubt that'll happen because I don't think that team's going to take that $60 yeah. million contract. Or they might just let him go, too, and say, you know what? We got out of it. We got a 2 and a 6 out of this. We gave up a 4, and all we lost was cap space we probably weren't going to need this year anyway. So.
Yep, and they put a value on that second-round pick, whatever money it was, what, $12 million, something like that, or $16 million, whatever they felt that it was worth, and they may be using that to try to trade for a quarterback somewhere.
Right.
They don't have a quarterback.
I mean, I think they have the more picks than any other. I think they have 6 picks in the first 60 selections or some crazy number this year.
I read seven picks in the first 2 rounds.
It's some crazy number like that. But
I know what it was. It was 7 picks in 2017 and 7 picks in 2018.
In the first 3 rounds?
The first two rounds.
First two rounds. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. He's up next. Hi, Len.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
How you doing, buddy?
Hi, Len.
Good. Everything's good. Hey, John, if I'm hearing correctly, I'll say congratulations.
Oh yes, thank you. I appreciate that. August 3rd.
Listen, only one word of advice, John. Cherish every moment. Time flies.
Yeah, it does.
You're just not going to believe it.
More than
not
one word, but I appreciate the advice.
Good for you, buddy.
Thank you, Len.
Okay. Hey, listen, real quick, just a couple of almost one-liners, but the best player available in free agency this year was Brandon Williams. You just mentioned his name.
Right.
The guy is just an incredible football
player. Well, Len,
player.
And in fairness,
he got paid.
And Len,
thankfully
if you want
for the
to
Ravens,
count,
they came to their senses and signed him before somebody else could get
and
him.
And Len,
they gave him a boatload of money.
And Len, I would also put JPP in that mix, too. If he would have reached free agency, I think he's right in that same category.
Well, you know what? That's a good point, and I wanted to talk about the JPP thing. Let me say a couple of other comments.
Yes.
You know, yesterday was a good day. I mean, we got two guys. I mean, if you look at our needs, we found a couple of guys that fit some needs. I hope it works out for us. I mean, if you look at Marshall's numbers, geez, the production is staggering.
Yep.
Of course, he's 33 years old, and, he's down near the end of the line, and but he's the kind of guy that we want. You know, the one thing that sticks in my mind, I really didn't see a lot of Brandon Marshall. He didn't. I mean, he never made the playoffs. You guys in New York saw more of him when he was, because he was with the Jets, so I really didn't see much. I do remember one play, though, and, John, you've spoken about this as one of the positives. 2 years ago against the Jets, fourth quarter in the end zone, he just – absolutely dominated Prince, went out and got the ball, came back down, scored a touchdown, and the Jets beat us. I'm sure you remember that play.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but so that sticks in my mind. And listen, I appreciate the way you spelled out the circumstances or the scenarios, John, under which these two guys would help us, because I was thinking this, I was thinking the same thing. How does this all, how did this all translate? And these may be modest numbers, John. Jeff, don't read into it. I wish we had Reuben Randall. I'm just going to throw some numbers out. 60 catches, 800 yards, 8 touchdowns. Take the pressure off Beckham, 33-year-old guy. I'll be happy as heck if we can get those kind of numbers. I mean, that's 22 more than we got out of Victor.
You know, Lennon.
I'm not knocking Victor. I'm not knocking Victor. I'm just saying that's 22 more. We're moving the ball. We're getting first downs. We got more plays. Eli completes more passes, and, we go 12-4. I'm sorry, John. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just going to throw in, and it's funny you bring up those more, I would say, humble numbers. And Dottino asked a question yesterday. He put a poll up. Do you think the Giants will have 2 1,000-yard receivers last year? And he thinks they are. And, Len, my argument, too, and if you go to Giants on Fact or Fiction today, I wrote about it. Me, Dan Salamone, and Lance Meadow both put our 2 cents in. I'm not sure what they wrote. But I said no. I said I did not think the Giants were going to have 2 1,000-yard receivers because I think the ball's going to get spread out so much. I think Beckham will get his 1,000. I think Marshall's going to get between 800 and, say, 9. And I think Shepard's going to get between 700 and, say, 850. And I think it's going to get split up. And who knows? Maybe they get a pass-catching tight end in the draft. You still have Shane Vereen. Now you got, potentially Red Ellison. I think this ball is going to get spread out so much. I don't know if you're going to have 2 1,000-yard guys, and I don't think that's a bad thing either.
I
think it's a good thing.
So there's one other reason. Yeah. Maybe it's more simple than what you've outlined. We only play with one ball per down.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, you know, if Beckham gives us 100, 110 catches, 1,400 yards, 12 to 14 touchdowns, Marshall's done his job.
Yeah, you know? No, there's no question.
I mean, the big guy's Beckham. I mean, we get the ball, you know, get the ball to Beckham. He's the guy. But listen, you got to like those signings, and you know, we have to temper it a bit. I don't think the Vikings and the Jets are hiding under their bed this morning because they lost Red Ellison and Brandon Marshall. I mean, you know, they fit some needs that we have, and it's a great start. I mean, it's a great start. Little concerned about the offensive line. I'll leave that to Charlie. He'll probably call in and tell us about it. And then a little frustrated with the JPP situation. I just, you know, well, I'm just frustrated. You can hear it in my voice. You gotta figure, John, if he's a Neiman Marcus guy, and you just alluded to the fact that he may have been. Okay, that he might be, excuse me, when we compared him to Brandon Williams.
Yeah.
When you're going to Neiman Marcus, you got to pay the money.
Well, Len, here's the thing. If JPP was an unrestricted free agent, based on what we've seen with these other contracts, what do you think he would have gotten on the open market? And I guarantee you, since he's not a exclusive rights franchise player,
right,
he's been getting calls from teams telling him what they would offer. In your opinion, what do you think the contract offers would be on the table for JPP? I got to imagine it's going to be around 5 years, $80
million. Which would, if you give me, if we do the arithmetic, we're talking about 16. About 16.
I would say between 14 and 16 a year.
Maybe somewhere between 15
not
and 16.
17.
Got to be 5 years.
Yeah,
and the guarantees probably got to be high.
It's got to be in
Johnny,
your 40.
If he's as good as you alluded, and I think he is, I'm glad we got him, even if it's just for the 1 year.
Yep.
I know it's $17 million, but
I agree.
This guy is a difference maker. And you know, if you start getting emotional about it, this is a guy who's supposed to finish his career as a Giant.
And he might.
He's supposed to finish as a Giant.
Sure.
I mean, you know, I don't know what we're doing. We're shopping in a high-priced store.
But Len, if you go
into that store, be ready to open your pocketbook.
Yeah, but you know what? You don't know what they're doing.
Or don't franchise them.
You don't know what the Giants are doing either. You don't know what.
Right.
We're all on JPP here, but
thanks for the call, Len. We appreciate it, man. I got a bunch more guys, buddy. I want to get.
Thank you.
When you do look at when there's negotiations going on, without us being in the room and hearing things, what you kind of got to understand that this is. You got to think of them as it both ways. What is the Giants doing, and what is he doing? Hopefully, they can get a deal together. But I have to tend to agree that $17 million is probably, you know, I think that's a good number for him. I don't think he gets that on the open market.
I think that's the max.
The max. Absolutely.
And he wants
you know what he wants.
And here's the thing, and this is why I don't think the situation the Giants are in is bad. JPP's 28 years old. Okay. So if you sign him to a 5-year contract, this is a theory. He's going to be 32 on the last year of that deal. Okay.
Okay.
I feel much more comfortable paying him 17 this year as a 28-year-old than I would paying him 17 as a 30-year-old 3 years from now. You know what I mean? I don't know health-wise for a guy that has had some injury issues the last few years.
He may not make it to that third year.
And that's why
you have to pay him the money up front. What's he going to get up front?
Look, I don't mind going year to year with him.
Well,
I'm fine with it. I think the Giants are in a perfectly fine situation, and I understand why Jason would want more, and I understand why the Giants are sitting where they're sitting. I get it. It doesn't surprise me. I get it. I think it makes sense for both sides. I don't think anybody's doing anything wrong, and we'll see if over the next 4 months before July 15th that they can figure out a way to bridge the gap between the two sides. I think there's a chance it could happen if JPP really wants to finish his career here, but if the Giants have to go with him on a 1-year deal
– guaranteed.
But who knows how well he's going to play this year? I don't. Nobody does. It's the NFL. Anything can happen. So you'll play out the year, and then you'll play this game again on the open market next season. You'll see what happens.
And one thing about players, obviously you have a little experience about this. The players, they very rarely have leverage. They very rarely have leverage in the National Football League.
Next year he will if he plays through this
tag. Right now he doesn't.
Correct.
And so what's going to happen is that the Giants know that.
Look at Kirk Cousins.
There you go. He signed his contender today.
Exactly.
After he lost his leverage.
After calling the owner yesterday and saying, I would like to be traded. That lasted about 24 hours.
But look, he lost his leverage. He lost it. And really, when you're a player, you want the team to do what you want them to do. That doesn't always work. And you know what? Right now, having $17 million guaranteed, they're just going to – and he said it. I don't want to have a 1 year again. I did that last year. I don't want to do it again. But sometimes, unfortunately, when you're this type of a caliber player, this scenario comes into effect.
The way it's structured.
It's the way it's structured. And some guys really get – you know, some guys in their mind are losers when it comes to this. But $17 million guaranteed is not a loser in a lot of people's mind, but it is in JPP sometimes because he wants a big deal. Well, you can't fault him for that.
Right.
But you can't fault the Giants for doing what they're doing, a business move.
No, absolutely not. And here's the thing about it. If JPP plays well this year, this is a good thing for him.
There's no question. It shows you that he can come back and play. That is, now he'll be 29 next year.
And he's going to get another big guarantee on his next contract. The same thing with Kirk Cousins looks. I get why Kirk Cousins wanted a long-term deal last year. I get why he wanted it this year. But time out. He made $20 million last year. He's making $24 this year. If he plays like he did last season again, which I know they lost some receivers, but I still imagine Kirk Cousins is probably going to have a pretty good season.
If they get some receivers.
And with the way the quarterback market is, if he's an unrestricted free agent last year, and this is not hyperbole, folks, it's not, because you never see a really good quarterback hit the open market. And make no mistake, by his numbers, Kirk Cousins is a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what the Jets or
pay for him?
Or maybe the Jaguars if Blake Bortles doesn't work out this year.
Or the Cleveland Browns.
Or the Texans. Or the Browns. Or the Broncos. Or any of these teams with a ton of salary cap space.
They're paying him $25 million.
They will literally make him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. He's not the best quarterback in the NFL, but guess what? He will be the highest paid one. Do you know why? It's basic economics, folks. It's supply and demand.
No question.
And guys like that don't reach free agency. It's capitalism.
And that's why he wanted to go this year, because supply and demand, draft. There are no quarterbacks that's really worth writing home about in the draft. Mm-hmm. This is not last 2016 draft. Last year was ridiculous. This year, uh-uh. So what does Kirk Cousins say? There isn't anybody that's in the draft that some team is going to want and go and give up the kitchen sink for. I'm the guy. But you're right, John. These guys like Kirk Cousins don't hit the open market very often.
Never.
And really, you kind of understand both sides of it. It's tough to understand, but it is what it is.
That's the business part of it.
But it is supply, demand, and leverage. If you want to go back and look at your economics books, go back and look at it, because this is all it's all about, okay?
Absolutely. Capitalism 101.
This is it.
It works.
That's it.
Everyone eventually gets paid.
The only time a player has leverage is when there's other teams that are vying for their services and that you can leverage one against the other.
Now, of course, and here's the other part of it, too. I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul is taking a risk playing on the one-year deal. You know, is it worth it for him to alleviate that risk and maybe take a little bit less than he might get last year? Or do you want to wind up in the situation Steve Smith was, you know, a few years ago? Where he passed on a contract that he didn't think was big enough, tears up his knee, and then he gets nothing.
Right.
You know, and Akeem Nicks was offered a pretty valuable contract, too. He didn't take it, and then, you know, he deteriorated quickly.
Yep.
So there's risk to that as well, which is why we get into these situations every year with players and teams. Anyway, we went on enough of an aside there. Let's get to the rest of our calls. And by the way, Adam Schefter reporting the Browns releasing Robert Griffin III. So
that doesn't surprise me. Maybe, I think he had a roster bonus tomorrow.
Right. And Ian Rappaport reported yesterday that they were going to release Osweiler, but I wonder if they would release both RG3 and Osweiler. I'm not sure. We'll see. It's possible. But then they got to figure out who the quarterback's going to be next year.
Osweiler might be coming next. They love the spotlight over there in Cleveland, so they may not want to do them both at the same time.
Right. That's true.
You know, but I was just like,
how about the guard?
Out of all the years we've been covering football and been football, to see something like this that happened yesterday was kind of cool.
How about the guard market? By the way,
the guard market has just been.
See what Ronald Leary got?
And Pugh is just sitting there going,
the extension Joel Bitonio got.
Big money for guards.
Zeitler, the money he got from Cleveland, yep. the guy from Cincinnati. TJ Lang, I don't think, is signed yet, right? Have you seen him sign anywhere yet?
Nope.
I haven't either.
Nope.
No, right?
He's probably the one guy on the top.
Yeah.
I mean, Clady is still there, right?
Yeah, but Clady's not close to the
but
player.
But what I'm saying is the guys that are kind of still lingering out there. You know, and this is he's not a main free agent guy, but I think Nick Mangold probably has a 2 years left in him to play, maybe.
Sure.
You know?
And I think he could help a veteran team that's close to winning that might need offensive line help.
Yeah. I mean, would he want to move to, you know, whatever? But I think that So it's interesting. And now we see it every year, the way free agency works, is that you get this, you know, this flurry of signings right at the beginning, and then all of a sudden there's a little bit of a lull.
The crickets start.
Then the crickets start coming out, exactly.
And by the way, I want to throw one other thing real quick. That's another part of the JPP situation too. You mentioned Justin Pugh. Both him and Weston Richburg free agents next season. So if you lock up JPP long term, how tough does it become to sign those two guys, not to mention
OBJ.
In the summer of 2019, not just Odell Beckham Jr., Landon Collins.
Already. Can you imagine that?
It's going to be his fourth season. And remember, he was a second-round pick, not a first, so they only control his rights for 4 years, not five.
That's a good point.
201-939-4513. Even though, thankfully, he did play like a first-round pick
last
year.
And you know what? You know what's funny? But if you're Landon Collins and you're that first pick in the second round.
Oh, yeah, you're annoyed.
You're annoyed because – but are you annoyed because – you know, there's a little bit of money between those picks.
Because you hit free agency sooner?
You hit it free agency sooner.
That's true, but that option year for a player is pretty good. That option year for him would probably be around $7, $8 million, but that probably is still below what he would have got on the free agent market.
Okay.
You're right, though. You know what? In knowing if he plays really well the next 2 years – he's probably better off.
Better off being a second rounder.
Better off being a second rounder, yeah.
But you like to say you're a first rounder.
Right. I mean, he might lose a couple million from years one through four, but you're going to make that back having that 1 year quicker on the open market.
You'll also make it up off the field.
Correct. 201-939-4513. Marco in Connecticut. Marco, you're up next.
Marco.
How are you, buddy?
What's up?
John and Jeff, what's up?
What's up, buddy?
How you doing up there in Connecticut?
I'm doing great. We got some snow today, but a good day for me to get in and call you guys.
Perfect.
John, congratulations, man, on the news.
Thank you.
I think that's awesome.
Appreciate it.
And we had our son last August 6th, so if you want to hold off a couple days, we could we'll share that day with you.
You know what? And here's the thing, Marco, and obviously there's nothing we can do about it. We want the wife to pop early here so I can get a few days before training camp starts. That's
no doubt
the key.
About it.
We want somewhere in that July 20th to the 23rd area. Get it, like, just be a week early. It's not asking too much.
I got an August 12th. One of my sons is August 12th.
Oh, let's do it. So, hey, Datino goes out for his morning five. John, you're going to be looking for a bench somewhere to get a couple extra hours of sleep in, or maybe 10 minutes. I don't know.
That's not wrong. You can get. That's not wrong.
quick offense and defense question. Marshall, I love Brandon. Love Brandon Marshall. I think perfect player, but the perfect time in his career to come here. Like, it just matches up perfectly.
Yep. It's a match made in heaven. It really is.
Yeah, it's the hunger that he wants. It's just a nice time in his career to come over. And I think what's not being discussed enough is the kind of role model he's going to be in the locker room for some certain players. So I really, really like it. But one concern is I still see when we go out with three wide receivers, I still see opposing defenses doing similar to what they did this year. You know, why not still keep that deep safety back and dare the Giants to have to run the ball?
Yeah.
And you're going to just, hey, if Odell can make a crazy play and break the defense down, right now, today, that's still what we're looking at.
And the coaches are looking at that too.
Marco, I think you're right, but here's how the Giants could mitigate that. In all seriousness, I thought about this. One, and I talked about this before, that two safety deep press man thing, the back shoulder catch works well against that. So that's one. Number two, and the Jets did use Brandon Marshall in the slot a decent amount last year. If you put him one-on-one in the slot and he works that middle of the field with the two safeties out by the hashes of the numbers, Marshall can play the role of that tight end in that middle area and really punish them.
Because he's like a tight end.
With having those two deep safeties split. So those are two ways. Those are two ways he can help defeat that, but you're right. Bigger theme, the only way you definitively beat that type of defense is by running the football. No argument from us.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they address that with re-signing Darkwell, which isn't going to be a huge point, but I'm just making that known for people.
Yeah.
And then also with the signing of Rhett.
Ellison. Ellison.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you for breaking that down. And
sure.
I think the physicality of Marshall, too, is very different than what Victor was able to give us this year. Okay, defensive question. B.J. Goodson, I'm really excited but slightly curious about this guy because in the past, the Giants have, in drafts, I've seen Philip Dillard, I've seen Greg Jones. I've seen Goff, Jonathan Goff.
Don't list the names. And it's painful, Marco.
Not to say B.J. Goodson, who comes from a huge program in Clemson, but what would make me feel differently about Goodson compared to those other guys that we've had? And now, Giants fans that want to look back and get on Jerry Reese about anything, you know now what, like, the formula is here. A lot of money and time has gone into this defensive line. We have a franchise quarterback, and like you guys were just talking about, the money, I think Charlie called in the other day, and Jeff and Lance were getting on him, and I was so happy. Like, where do you just get this money to go out and buy these left tackles, Charlie? You just want a great offensive lineman. Everybody does, but, hey, if you don't have the money for it, you can't do it.
No.
So I kind of digress a little bit, but so – you invest in a lower round draft pick in a linebacker, and what could we expect from B.J. Goodson that maybe we thought we've had in the past?
Well, let me put it this way, and I'd like to get Jeff's take on this. And, Marco, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Marco.
If B.J. Goodson can be Jonathan Goff, because Jonathan Goff, when he was healthy, before he got hurt, he was actually a pretty good first and second down run-stopping linebacker. And I think if Goodson can be that type of guy, then you take him off the field on third down, you get a coverage guy, maybe Keenan Robinson comes back, whoever that might be, I think that's a fine role for him.
You know what happens here is that, and I think you'll agree with me, we get all excited, or everybody else does, about their draft picks during that year. Oh, B.J. Goodson from Clemson, he's going to be great. You know, I'd like to pick and this and that. And then all of a sudden you lose sight of him because he's a rookie. Mm-hmm. And then everybody kind of just forgets about him. Then we start to talk about these guys again, and now we're like discrediting them a little bit because we haven't heard anything about them. Guys, this league takes time to develop players, especially at linebacker. I think that B.J. Goodson is going to be a good player. We saw him in some games last year that he did well.
He tackled on special teams.
And that's what his whole role was, to be special teams player and learn the position. You're going to see a big maturity growth in him, I think, coming up. So I think he can be a good – and, yes, Jonathan Goff was a tough dude, a good run stopper, a good player on the first and second down. I agree with you. If we could get B.J. him to do that, I mean, he'd be fine.
And, look, I don't think B.J. is going to be a three-down linebacker that's chasing fast tight ends down the seam. And that's kind of what, you know, when they spoke about him last year, what they thought his role is going to be. But you need a guy to be a good run-stopping first and second down type of middle linebacker. And I think B.J. Goodson is a fourth-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. I think he can step in and play that role pretty well.
It wasn't a late round. I mean, fourth round, obviously, I don't know what you draw the line at 3.5. I guess he is a fourth.
How about mid-round?
Mid-round,
like
that would be fine. But I think that you'll see some good things out of him. I really do. I mean, look at the way that Kennard developed. You know, he had a good rookie season. He got hurt his second season. Didn't really play that well. This last year, he came out and played very well. And now he's looking for just going into his fourth year. He's, you know, looking to be much, much better.
Christian's in New York. He's up next on Giants.com. Hi, Christian.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I called yesterday about left tackle and a fourth corner. And I understand that if you use a first-round pick, you have to give a guy 3 years to develop. But at the same time, you got to see, like, certain checkpoints of improvement.
Sure.
And at least to some degree. And I just feel like we don't get that with Eric. And
no, look, Christian, you know, you're right. I don't think he has shown the improvement you would want to see from year one to year two. I don't think anybody would argue with that.
Yeah. There's not a lot of boxes you could check there. They say, okay, we established this, we did this. Now going into his third year, this is going to be the year. We've checked all these boxes. Now he's got a couple more that we need to check before he's our all-pro left tackle. We're a little far from that, right? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, and also I'd like to see him on the right side, not necessarily because D-rushers won't follow him over there, but because Eli's going to see what's going on, and he's just going to be less paranoid, really, when – he can see that side much better than his left. And he just looked incredibly skittish this year, Eli did, as if 2.5 seconds goes up in his head and now he's got to get rid of the ball.
If that. There were some times 2.5 seconds, that would have been all day in the pocket for Eli last year a couple times. You know, and I think that Coach Mack has said it to us many, many times that the pocket was dirty. I love that word. The pocket was dirty. You know, that needs to be addressed, and they are. And I think in the second system and Mike Scolari's offensive line schemes and stuff, you know, you think that this offensive line can come out and play a little bit better than they did. They're going to have to if they're going to make a run at this thing next year and get get going on offense. The biggest thing for this offense, in my opinion, last year was turnovers. I mean, it's crucial times, and just the way that they kept turning the football over, which giving the ball back to the other team, and then not being able to put points on the board. How many times did we go into these games saying these guys, if they can just score 21 points, they'll win the game? They couldn't even score 14 or 15. Tough.
Right, and also, John, I liked your suggestion of possibly Forrest Lamb in the draft. You know, I wasn't really disregarding the draft at all, but really, Pugh and Richburg really just get almost no push up front, and maybe Pugh gets a little bit, but, you know, I'd still really love to see him get a chance at left tackle because, you know, he's got the quick feet, he's got the technique, and at that point, you know, I kind of want to forget about his short arms, people say, because if he's where he needs to be, that really shouldn't stop him from having a chance.
Here's the thing, though, Christian. He was a better guard than he was a right tackle, and I think that's his best position. I don't think you want to talk about moving him. In terms of Lamp, the reason I think that could make sense, depending on what the Giants do at right guard in the rest of free agency, is that there are a few positions in this league where you can plug and play in the draft. You know, I think offensive tackle is really hard. You know, it takes them time to develop, even the best ones. We've gone through those numbers here on Giants.com
a bunch.
They've
done it, though.
You can, but it's
– Sharif.
But there are a lot of guys that it doesn't work out with, though.
Right.
Corners are hard to plug and play. A lot of those guys struggle in their first year. It takes some time to adjust to the NFL. Quarterbacks, obviously, first year, very hard to expect a lot out of them. But I think offensive guards are players that in the past, if you get the right guy – can come in and be pretty effective right away.
Yeah.
And I think Lamp is probably the best overall offensive lineman in the draft if you look at how good they are at their position.
Love the name.
He was a tackle in college at Western Kentucky, but much like Pugh, much like Zach Martin, he's a guy that they think will move inside once he gets drafted. So if the Giants do not find a right guard at some point during this process, I think he's a guy that, again, if they decide to go there in the first round, he's a guy that I would be pretty confident in putting in day one and saying, you're going to be my starting right guard, and I think you're going to play pretty well. So I would be fine with that.
Would you be fine for the Giants re-signing John Jerry?
Thank you, Christian. I appreciate the call. I got to get one more before you say goodbye.
I think the Giants want John Jerry.
I'd be okay with that. Sure.
Yeah,
Why not?
Yeah.
And I'd be okay having Marshawn Lewis on this team again.
Well, listen,
he played guard and tackle last year. He's a perfect backup.
Yeah.
Perfect backup. 201-939-4513. Jersey Chris will wrap us up. Hi, Jersey Chris.
Jersey Chris.
Yo, Window is still here, gentlemen.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're right. It is.
I know.
Get your peeler spoiler.
2 days ago, I gave the 5 minutes. Jeff, you were there on Forrest Lamp, and then we were making fun of his name, Forrest.
Yeah.
I've been a supporter of Forrest Lamp for the last 6 weeks.
Nice.
I'm on this show saying we need to go with guard in the draft. John, we've talked about this. Mm-hmm. There's no tackles out there. We're gonna. And this is my B plan, not my A plan. I'm a best available player in the first pick.
Correct.
Okay.
As far as Lamp is a hell of a player. I'm gonna be redundant. 10 years, exceptional, nasty, and another Snead type. I said this 2 days ago. This guy is a player.
Okay.
As far as our offense is concerned, 4 years ago, I'm on this air saying that the vision in the future is speed, quarterbacks, wide receivers, and throwing the ball all over the place. And we all know that you and that Mr. Dottino were not too enthused about that, but I'm so happy you guys are on board now. This is the future of the NFL, boys. Okay, it's speed, and it's offense, and we have a great defense. We need to go out there and get a great – no, I'm excited here, man. I'm excited. I do a lot of homework on this stuff. I really, really do, and I love you guys' input. And I agree with most of the stuff you guys say, and you guys agree with me.
Well, I don't think anybody.
Because we're all on the same page.
I don't think anybody would disagree if the Giants drafted Forrest Lamp. I think that's. I mean, it makes sense in every way. And,
absolutely.
The way
I look at it too, Jeff. Real quick, to me, it's a very high floor pick. Where I think you kind of know what you're going to get. Now, here's the thing: the Giants might decide that the upside of one of these athletes there at 23, like a corner. Or a defensive end or something like that might give you a higher ceiling and have a better grade because of athleticism. But if you want a super safe pick and a pick that you know you're going to get a contribution,
and you know
that's
the
direction you can go.
And that you know that you need it?
Correct, right.
And it's
because
not...
all of the signs just line up here, or the dominoes just line up.
Yeah.
They need offensive help. He's guaranteed to fill in. It just everything just lines up there. Yeah, I want to know. I want a defensive tackle. Yeah, I'd love to get a big edge rusher. Yeah, but plan B is, okay, he may not be the best available for the Giants' way of thinking, and Eli's short 3 years left in this league. Maybe we have to go that area, okay? And I can live with that, and I hear you guys living with it too. And I'm so happy that I have some support, because I'm supporting you guys on this pick, okay? Now, quarterback. I don't have a problem with cornerbacks. There are some really, really, John, not really plug-in cornerbacks, but I tell you, by the end of the year, if DRC goes down, you can get a guy in there to replace him at the end of the year with some of these cornerbacks, John.
Sure you can. Absolutely.
Okay?
I don't disagree with that.
All right. That's what I'm saying. And DRC needs to redo his contract, too. A couple of guys need to redo their contracts. On my last point.
Taking away DRC's money, are you?
Stealing that guy's money. Well, here's the thing you can do. Jersey Chris, I'm ready over. I got to run, all right, pal?
Thank you, Chris.
I'll win my last thing on the tight end, then I'll go.
Real fast.
A tight end, I still think we need to get a tight end. And I think Ingram and Hodges is ahead of Everett. That's all I got. We still need a receiving tight end. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate it.
Thanks,
all right. Say. A few things. One, I agree. I still think a receiving tight end could be in the cards in the draft.
Okay.
I think, frankly, if Njoku's still there with that first-round pick and you want to pick him over Forrest Lamp, I buy that too. I'm okay with that. And what was the last thing? What was the next to last point he made?
Corners.
Yeah.
Lots of corners.
Oh, and the restructuring thing.
Yeah.
Look, you can't go to DRC and say take a pay cut. He had a great year. I mean,
a Pro Bowl player.
If I'm DRC, I'm going to tell you to sod off.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? He had a great year. So you can't ask him, but if I'm DRC, why would I agree to that?
But I got to believe if that was the case, they would have already done it.
But remember, you can restructure without taking money away. I mean, if you convert.
You can give him another bonus.
That's the thing. You convert base salary to signing bonus. You split it over 2 years, and that's how the Cowboys got under their salary cap this year with Tyron Smith and Travis Frederick. And frankly, you can do that not with GRC. You could do that with Snacks if you want. You could do that with Vernon if you want. You can do that with Janoris if you want. You can do that with Eli if you want.
Yeah. They do it every year.
Right. So if the Giants do come into a situation here where they find a player and they're like, holy cow, we got to have this guy. Maybe it's Hankins. Who knows? Whatever. And they need to find money somewhere, you can do it. Here's the problem. Eventually, you got to pay the piper.
Yes,
this
money catches up to you at the
money
end.
Money doesn't disappear.
Yeah.
It always eventually hits the salary cap. And we talked about the guys you're going to have to re-sign over the next couple years. So you have to be very careful when you do stuff like that.
It's a tricky game. It's a tricky game. And Kevin Abrams has got his, finger on the pulse on all that stuff.
And he does a great job managing the cap, too. Fantastic.
Really, just, a lot to think about there.
If you're a player coming off a great year and I say, hey, Jeff, I want to sign this other guy. Do you mind taking a pay cut? What do you say?
I'd be like, no, let me go. If I'm coming off a good year, you just said it. You prefaced it.
I did.
Then I would say, that's fine, but I'm not going to.
No, thank you.
So now just cut me and let me go out there and do it. Now, if they say to me, hey, we want to restructure your deal, we're not going to try to take money away from you. We just want to restructure it. Then now you're talking.
Right. But frankly, then players get more guaranteed money. They're all in favor of that.
That's what I mean.
That's
just
easy.
Like, that's fine. Where do we do it? Let's go right now. Let's go do this now.
Right.
And I'll rock out of here with a check. And
then that money's going to hit in 2018 and 2019
and
2020.
That's where we just said that, Kevin, you got to keep an eye on the future. And eventually you have to pay the piper. Something's going to happen.
And it's actually easier to restructure these contracts early. So a guy like DRC who's only got 2 years left, you can only –
Maybe one more year.
Because you're stretching it over 2 years. But like for Snacks or Vernon or Jenkins who have 4 years left, if you let's say – and this is how it works, folks. I'll be real quick. Matt Cohen's trying to get a lunch. I'm killing him. I know. But if let's say a guy has 4 years left on his deal, right, and you take $10 million of his base salary and you convert that to signing bonus. How that will work then is that $2.5 million will go on the cap for each of the remaining 4 years.
Right.
So let's say, for example – and I don't know if this is true or not. Let's say player X has a 12 million cap hit this year. 10 million of that is base salary, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he has 2 million bonus on his contract already. So you take that 10 million base salary, you turn that into bonus money. So then you'll take his what was a $12 million hit this year, and it becomes 4.5.
Right.
So you save
the 2.5 and the 4.5 you just wiped over through the next
the,
4 years.
And
yeah.
the other 7.5 will then go
push
over
back to the other way.
The other the final 3 years, 2.5 each year.
Right.
So it gets pushed down the road, but you save money this year,
just,
and that becomes guaranteed
you
money
just
too.
Save
by the way,
six and you just save $5.5 million.
7.5 actually, because it goes from 12 down to 4.5.
Oh, it was 12. That was a 10.
Because, yeah, because,
okay,
because
yeah.
here he already had $2 million of
that's
bonus
right.
money
yep.
on that year.
Yeah. That's
so
how you do it.
Yeah, and you save a lot of money that way. But again, then. And that $7.5 million you push down the road, A, you pay 2.5 each year, but also if you want to cut him before the contract is up, that money gets accelerated.
Yep.
So
yep.
if after 3 years you want to cut him, guess what? That $5 million guaranteed you just push down the road gets pushed
and
into that.
And what you do is you
year.
Look at it, you say, okay, you know what? Maybe in 2 years from now we're going to have a really big cap because we get a lot of expiring contracts. Then they can kind of think about
or
doing
if
that.
The salary cap continues to go up,
which it usually does. And the other thing too, from a player's perspective, if you come to me and say, hey, by the way, you know, we want to give you your $10 million this year, mm-hmm. and I'm in, I'm signing that thing, and let's go. You know, because nothing – I'm not guaranteed year two, three, four, whatever. I'm guaranteed that you're going to give me $10 million now. Bird in the hands worth two in the bush. I'm taking it.
Bing, bang, boom. Good show,
Fitz. I'll take $10 million right now. If you want to, I'll split it with you. I'll split it with you. If we can get the $10 million, I'll split it with you. There's probably no chance of getting the $10 million, so it really doesn't matter.
I thought you were guaranteeing me five there for
no,
a second.
No, I'm saying if
you
I –
You would have made my house hunting a lot easier over the next couple of months, let me tell you.
I would have just paid cash to that big boy.
Thank you, Feeks. Appreciate it. Good
welcome.
Show. Callers, great job as well. We had a lot of fun. You've been great this week, and we'll continue to talk Giants free agency, and then we'll shift back to the draft over the next few weeks as well. But one more week of free agency, I'm sure a lot of stuff will happen over the course of the next couple weeks as the Giants continue to try to improve their team for 2017. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm John Schmelk. Thanks for joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We'll see you next time on Giants.com. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. Take it easy.